Okay, so I've got the privilege of ending off. I'll try and put it into 20 minutes because that's 1 o'clock is lunch, but I don't know, that'll be a miracle. Also, just for those who don't know, Lisa would have loved to have been here, and the only reason she isn't is that a single mum in our church died fairly suddenly, and we have now got a 14-year-old boy living with us at the moment because he's got nowhere else to go. So that's why she's at home and not here. We just couldn't leave him with our three. So we've got 2 14-year-olds and 2 12-year-olds living in our house at the moment. So that it's fun. Good. I'm going to pray more for me than you. But Father God, I thank you for everything that you've spoken to us already. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're challenging us, you're equipping us, and you're transforming us. And Lord, this morning I pray that as I just share what you've laid on my heart, that God, you'd work through me and in each one of us to just to build your kingdom with a greater focus on you and effectiveness. Lord, I thank you that you've not left us as orphans, but you've given us your Holy Spirit, and we can do all things through you. And so we surrender ourselves to you and submit ourselves to you, and for your kingdom's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. So what I'm going to touch on is, I'll try and see how I can do this. But I want to look at the book of Acts. I'm not going to do the whole of the book of Acts in 20 minutes. Quick summary, fly through. But there are some things just that I was just along with lines of longevity and pushing through in the things of God, and Rick touched on some things, and I was just reminded as he was going through that with sitting and walking and standing. If you look at the book of Ephesians, it says the same thing. I think it's Arthur Wallace who says that the summary of the book of Ephesians is sit, walk, stand. You sit, you are seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, and it's from that you then walk out your faith, and you stand, and you stand, and you stand at the end. So just how, it's amazing how just different sections of the word just kind of tie in and just build on each other. And just again with the thing of longevity, of making sure that we understand where we are, and we are seated in heavenly realms within Christ Jesus. And it's from that position that we walk out and live out our faith. And so looking at the book of Acts, and I've just been struck again by partly possibly from what I shared yesterday about those churches who've just planted out so many churches. And we go back to the commission and the call that God's given us to go make disciples, not just converts, but actually disciples, and seeing how people are discipled and disciples disciple others. And looking at them and thinking, God, how is this possible? How can we do all of this? Because I don't know about you, but if you read the book of Acts, and you can kind of sit down and read the book of Acts start to finish in about 2 hours generally, but you get an overview of everything. I encourage you to do that. Just sit down and read the whole thing. You can do it in one sitting. Gives you a great overview of the book of Acts. And then you go back and have a look. But as you read through the book of Acts, we can build the apostles and the characters in the book of Acts almost to be like the first superheroes who kind of just went and did amazing things. And we think, how on earth can we do that? These incredible men and the woman and the others who are not even named but are just alluded to through the book. And we can look at that and think, That they just superheroes. How and you look at Hebrews, chapter 11 goes through like the hall of faith and fame of all those incredible people. And someone spoke about it was you again, throwing off everything that hinders and so easily entangles, that cloud of witnesses. But if we look at the book of Acts, really, they're not actually superheroes. They're just ordinary men and women in the hands of an extraordinary God. That's what it is. And actually, when we look at the book of Acts, it's like a blueprint for us to learn from, to say, actually, we can do this too. And the incredible kind of abridged gospel messages that appear time and time again through the book of Acts are there for us to take and for us to use so that we can be equipped to do the exact same mission. Because it starts off at the beginning. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken to heaven. Until the day he was taken to heaven. Talk about finishing strong. Jesus did it. Everything he began, to teach until the day he was taken to heaven. And my prayer is for each one of us that it can be said of us that we would be the ones who did everything that God told us to do till the day we take into heaven. Not kind of fading off, but till the day we take into heaven. And if you look at just what happened just before this, I mean, then Jesus gave instruction to them, and we get on to that. But if we look with the earthly reality of these what was going on, Jesus, talk about thing of success, and because Rick was speaking about that, of fruitfulness, and we wanting fruitfulness, and we can see that in terms of it's not right, but we often do it, thinking, well, am I being fruitful? And sometimes Christians use the word fruitful as just another word for them to actually say, am I being successful? Which is wrong. But we do. It's just like a spiritual version of, this is my church is successful because we're being fruitful. And you think, actually, God's fruitfulness and our fruitfulness are completely different things. And we need to see what it is. Because if you look at Jesus, Jesus would not have been the one who all the conferences were about in his day. He wouldn't have been the one that all the publishers went after to go and write books. Because if in the reality of it, in a human sense, he spent 3 years of intense training. He had 11, not 12 of his disciples were still around, maximum 120 people. His message, he wasn't even able to convince his own people that he was the Messiah. And the message didn't even go beyond the borders of Palestine. I mean, that's not, if we look at success in our day and fruitfulness in our day, we look at I'm just saying this generally, I'm quite sure hopefully most of us are not like this, but we look in the way the world looks at success. And we look at the different things that the world looks at, and we're going after conferences and books and try and find the next formula and everything else. But when we look at this, Jesus wasn't like that. And yet we are today, and the kingdom of God is still advancing, and Jesus did everything that God told him to do until the day he was taken to heaven, and he continues to intercede for us at the right hand of the Father. And then we have this 120 people, 11 disciples left. And I mean, there's so many different things that you can draw out. You've got the 11 that were still there. And then there's old, Barnabas and Matthias that they cast lots for. And it's an incredible thing that they chose. When Peter speaks to them, he says, we need to choose someone to take Judas's place. And he refers to the passages in, I think it's Joel, and those that speak about and some of the Psalms about someone who would take his place. So inspired by the Holy Spirit, they do that. And it has to be someone who's been with them from the beginning and witnessed everything. My heart goes out for poor old Barnabas, because he was never one of the 12, but he was there from the beginning. All the way through. Now's his chance. He could be one of the 12, and he's not. And there's so much we can learn from that. Actually, God's economy is not like man's. And actually, we just got to be faithful with what God's given us. So here we have this, really a bunch of guys who had all sorts of stuff going on. Peter, who was so adamant that he wasn't going to always be with Jesus. And then given the opportunity, denied him 3 times. That's who he was. Then there's James and John, and with all those things. So the group of disciples that were left were not superheroes. Before Jesus rose from the dead and spoke to them and met with them for those 40 days, they were disillusioned. They were disheartened. They thought, this that we've given our lives to for 3 years, what's it all about? Wait, he's gone. It looks like God's even forgotten them. Some of them went back fishing. Then Jesus rose again. And for us, we can sometimes feel like that. This that we've given our lives to, we've poured our lives into. What's going on? And we just go back. You see, the book of Acts, if we read it with the right lens, that actually they were ordinary men and women in the hands of an extraordinary God to fulfill the mission that God had called them to, we can then read the book of Acts and be inspired and encouraged and built up and strengthened. But most importantly, we can read the book of Acts and be enlisted with the same commission and command that God's given. Because that same commission is for us that it was for them. And all of us are just, I hate to burst your bubble, but all of us are just ordinary men and women. Are you willing to give your life into the hands of an extraordinary God and see what he does? And so Jesus rises from the dead, he meets with them, and it says that he spoke about and he taught for those 40 days of the kingdom of heaven. So we have the very beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus and the kingdom. You skip all the way through to the end of Acts. What's at the end of Acts? Paul preaching Jesus and the kingdom. The whole way through, beginning to end, hasn't changed for us. Our message is Jesus and the kingdom. Jesus and the kingdom. The message of ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God. That's what we're there for. And so we've got all these guys. And let me try and find my notes. But if anything, you go away from what I say this afternoon, because it's not. I haven't got much more time. Know this, that actually if you read the book of Acts with those lenses of actually it's just ordinary people with an extraordinary God's hands, we can do the same. And Jesus says to them, he says, go and don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father as promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So then they all met together. They asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to him, it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so then we go through the whole thing of choosing a replacement for Judas, and then they gathered together, and the day of Pentecost came. They were all together in one place, chapter 2. Suddenly they sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. And we know what happens. They filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus said to them, wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, they would have known, because they were good Jewish men, about Samson, who was an ordinary person. And when the Holy Spirit came on him, did extraordinary things. They would have known about Ezekiel's prophecy, the valley of dry bones. When the Spirit of God comes, a mighty army rises. They would have known about the prophecies of Isaiah that says, the least of you will be 1,000. The smallest, the greatest nation. You see, they had not experienced what they were about to experience. But they knew that there was something, and they knew of the power of God working through ordinary people. And so they sat there and they waited for the promise of God. And so when the Holy Spirit comes on them, it's a fulfillment of God's promise. If you look in John chapter 14, when Jesus speaks about the promise of the Holy Spirit, it's also a fulfillment of Mark chapter 16, where it speaks about that you'll be filled with the Spirit and you'll speak in other tongues. And that's what we see. But they knew what was promised. They knew something of it, but hadn't experienced it. And the Holy Spirit comes on and empowers them. You see, what is the result of the Holy Spirit's coming at Pentecost? The immediate response, the immediate result, fruitfulness. What was 120 became 3,120. And then if you just skip through Acts, I wrote a list somewhere here of just the incredible thing when the Holy Spirit comes and empowers. Acts 2, 41 and 47, 120 become 3,120. Sorry, that's my wife with the number of messages. Probably to do with this boy. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it's now 5,000. Acts chapter 5, verse 14, more and more were added. 6, verse 7, they increased rapidly. 9, verse 31, these are, if you listen to Dudley's thing, he said all these verses. The church grew and increased, and others joined them. Chapter 11, verse 21 to 24, that there were a great number, all the way through to Acts chapter 24, verse 5. The accusation that is given against the disciples is this. They've been stirring up riots across the whole world. All because why? Holy Spirit came and empowered. See, the disciples knew that if God had said, God through Jesus had said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, they knew that they could do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they couldn't. They couldn't do anything. And that's the same for you and I. Fruitfulness, increase, longevity. We cannot do a thing without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the way God has ordained it. When we try and do it in our own strength, it's flesh giving birth to flesh. And no matter how good the flesh is, it's still flesh. It's not spirit. And its Spirit gives birth to Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what God's called us to do. And how do we do it? By surrendering to Him. And so we see Pentecost as the day that actually the fulfillment of those promises, the fulfillment of what Jesus spoke of in Mark 16. And the mission hasn't changed. That you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. From Genesis to Revelation, we see God's plan for every generation in every culture to spread across the world. God's commission to man was to go and fill the earth and subdue it. We see in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. They build the Tower of Babel. They don't, and they say, so that we, let's do this with one heart so we can reach heaven and so that we don't spread across the earth. And so part of God's plan, I believe, of confusing their language was so that they do go and spread across the earth, because that was His plan. And then what do we see in Acts? It says, in Jerusalem at the time were Jews from every nation. And what happened in Acts? They all heard the glory of God being preached in their own language. Complete reversal of Babel. Babel, confusion, and they go. Acts, the glory of God is proclaimed in their languages and brought them together. So there's so much just in that account of the fullness of God that is to be outworked through who? Us, ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God through the power of His Holy Spirit. And our commission is to do what? To carry on what Jesus started, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the earth. See, it's quite a simple thing. When we look at it and say, God, You've called us, You've empowered us to be witnesses. We're the ones who look for strategies and plans. You see, the advancement of the kingdom, and we got a scientist and you were accounts and things, weren't you? Engineering scientists, and then you got me, the artist, and not anything like the logic of those ones. But the success, if you can put it that way, or the fruitfulness of the kingdom through the book of Acts was not due to tactics and strategies and plans. It was due to the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of ordinary people who had surrendered everything to God. See, one thing that we have to teach those that God gives us and ourselves as well is that when we are saved, we are no longer our own. We belong to Him. That means that the kingdom of God is through every single aspect of our lives. Everything is lived, Acts beginning to end, Jesus in the kingdom. Therefore, how I parent my children should be in line with the kingdom first and His way. How I love my wife, kingdom first, His way. How I prioritize my time, not my life anymore, it's His. So it's His kingdom first. Not church meetings, His kingdom first. Why? So that every aspect of our lives we can be witnesses. Be witnesses in every area, in every aspect, in every place that we go to. And if you think of it logically, and for me it is quite simple, though we don't always get it right, we're not called to go and witness. Now people say, well, I've got this couple who kind of in our church, if you can be kind of in, you know what I mean, and they won't go to home group because anymore, because we have home groups on different days, and they were because they want to go and do witnessing in the town. I think, well, just be a witness. It's not around the functions of witnessing on a Saturday or whatever. It's being a witness. And what is a witness? You see, the word witness is actually originally a legal term. In the word, it is a legal term that we put onto the into the guys and to the bracket of evangelism. But actually, it's a legal term. And a legal witness is this: one who speaks about what they have seen, heard, and experienced. If you think of it logically, in a court of law, if I'm called as a witness, I'm not called as a witness to give my opinion. I'm purely there to speak about what I've seen, heard, or experienced. We are witnesses of Christ. What do we have to do? Speak about what we have seen, heard, or experienced. That is evangelism. That is why someone who gets saved this morning can be a witness as much as someone who got saved 50 years ago. Because today they have seen, experienced, and heard something about God that they hadn't before. How can we do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So while I understand things like tracts and all those different things, and they can be helpful, and you know that brilliant one which is really helpful, but we get stuck on it sometimes, where there's the picture of there's man and God and this big chasm between, and Jesus the cross is the bridge. Helpful, but we must remember this. Jesus is not just the bridge. He's also the destination. Jesus didn't just die for us. He lived so that we could live for him. So you see, even those things we can compartmentalize, and actually all that the disciples did was say, God, we're waiting for you. Those 10 days that they waited in prayer were the most, I don't know how you'd say it, the best investment they could ever have had for their future was waiting. And like Rick reminded us this morning, that actually we need to sit and receive so that we can speak of what we have seen and heard and experienced. Why do you think in Psalm 23 it says that he leads us by quiet waters and makes us lie down in green pastures? He doesn't say, I think it's because we're so determined not to lie down in green pastures. He doesn't say he leads us by quiet waters and asks us if we will, invites us to lie down. It says he makes us lie down. Why? Because he's the shepherd and knows what we need. We should be the ones who are going by the quiet waters and looking for somewhere to lie down, because we need to be in him. Because everything that we have got to give is only what we've seen, heard, or experienced. That's what's being a witness. And we are witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you carry on and you can see incredible things where the church, and I must end, how the church was established in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1. And we see that they then spread, the word of God spread. Then in Acts chapter 6, you see Stephen, Philip, and Paul. Stephen, who proclaims boldly the gospel. And he's stoned and he sees heaven open. And you've got Philip, who then is transported, and he speaks to who? The Ethiopian minister of finance. And who knows what happened in Ethiopia when he got back there? Philip, an ordinary man, the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking about what he has seen, heard, and experienced. A man is transformed and goes to a nation. And you got Paul, who's a hardened hater of Jesus, persecuting the church, a scholar, a professor, if you would, meets Jesus and totally transformed. And the kingdom of God is advanced. Then in Acts chapter 10, you've got Cornelius, a man who, it says that he's God-fearing, but with an open heart. But culturally, he just has got no way to get saved. Because he's a Gentile, but kingdom of God comes. And he gets saved. Acts chapter 12, the beginning. James is dead, Herod's on the throne, Peter's in prison. But the church prayed. End of Acts chapter 12, Herod's dead, Peter's free, and the kingdom of God is advancing. But the church, who's the church? Ordinary men and women in the hands of an extraordinary God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 16, you have a person with an open heart, a person with a possessed heart, both transformed by the kingdom of God. It's the empowering of the Holy Spirit we need for every single day of our lives. It's not like water baptism, which is once. It's time and time again. Folks, we get tired and weary because we don't go into the presence of God and get refreshed and filled with the Spirit. And we try and do it of our own strength. And we try and be a witness out of what we think. And we go to all these different things and try and reschedule our time. I heard this morning on the news, I just flicked it on while I was packing up. And they're doing this survey, which they haven't got the results in yet, over thousands, and you can go and do it online and everything else, to find out about rest, how people rest. It's going to be a fascinating thing to discover. They've done a lot of sleep and all those things over the years, but they've never done anything about rest. We need to learn how to rest in God. Because when you rest in God, you get sustained and refreshed and empowered to continue to do what God's called you to do, which is be His witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, whatever our regions are. But you and I are just like them. So I encourage you, go and read the book of Acts through the lens of they are just ordinary people like you and I in the hands of an extraordinary God. And allow it to stir your heart and enlist you again with a passion like Gareth spoke. I don't know where Gareth is now. He just spoke of how he got back with that whole thing of someone's at the end of my obedience. That's the passion for the king and the kingdom has gripped his heart, so he can't help himself but go and do that. And we know through Scripture that there's going to be hardship, there's going to be mocking. I mean, if you think about the day of Pentecost, just before it says that 3,000 were added, there were those who mocked them and said that they're drunk. And then the others said, well, what's going on? So my logic says there were more than 3,000 people in that crowd. And then you kind of think 120 people in those days, no amplification, no social media that you can call on all sorts of people to draw a crowd. A crowd of over 3,000 people were drawn by the move of God on 120. And people's lives were transformed. And in that group, there were people who mocked and there were people who asked. And if you look at Peter's response, he gives one or two sentences of his whole explanation of what was going on to the mockers. He says, they're not drunk as you suppose, it's only 9 a.m. This Jesus, and he starts with Jesus, and it's Jesus, 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 the whole way through his preach in Acts chapter 2. He gives them, the mockers, that amount of time. How many of us are sidetracked by the mockers and think we have to get them converted? When there are so many more who are saying, tell me, what's going on? I don't understand. And for some stupid reason, we've listened to the lie of the enemy that says, those, you've got to get them, you've got to get them. You're only successful or fruitful if they get saved. Not at all. God came. Some mocked and turned away, and others' hearts were opened. Who did those who are witnesses for Christ spend the time with and go after? Not the mockers. The one whose hearts were open. And what did they do? They didn't preach themselves. They didn't mince their words. It wasn't, well, you know, it was this Jesus that you crucified, that you did this. It was all God's plan. Now you repent and get baptized. Clear call. And I think Malcolm mentioned it. I think a number of people mentioned it. We are in a time where we have to give a clear call. Our churches, the world needs to hear a clear call of the gospel. And there will be those who reject it. But there will be those who say, what must we do? All we've got to do is be witnesses for Jesus. You and I, ordinary men and women, can do incredible things when we're in the hands of an extraordinary God. Try and do it on your own. No chance. Be in God's presence, baptized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit's baptism and empowering is to be a witness. That's immediately the result. See, I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit, and with this I will end, is passionate about fulfilling Isaiah 61. Bind up the brokenhearted, release the captives, all those things. And he fills those whose hearts are passionate about doing the mission of Jesus, Isaiah 61. Maybe, just maybe, we battle with being filled by the Spirit because our hearts are not passionate for the kingdom and fulfilling the Great Commission in Isaiah 61. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit is given so that we will be witnesses. Why would you fill anybody who's not passionate about being a witness? It's not about goosebumps and happy feelings and everything else. The power of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. So when he comes, might not feel anything, but there will be evidence of a witness. The fruitfulness that we look at needs to be the fruitfulness that God looks for, which is not based on our viewpoint, but his. And so when we speak about seasons and times, let's look at it from God's perspective, who has the big picture. And you might think that you're not fruitful. And it might be a seasonal thing that actually in this season you need to dig down. But even in the digging down is preparation for the fruitfulness. I'm about to plant. We made a bit of a miscalculation. I have to go home and plant 86 bulbs in our garden. But I know that if I don't plant them in the right time, they won't flower in the right time. And I'm no genius gardener. I just know that's logic. It says so on the packet. God says, be with me, spend time with me, and I'll empower you. You don't have to be a genius. It says so on the packet. Just do it. If you're obedient with the call of God, the time of God now, for what he's telling you to do now, the fruitfulness will come. The fruitfulness might not look like what you think it should look like. But he's the chief gardener. He's the one who looks for the right fruit. Not the man-made stuff, but his. Ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God, empowered to be witnesses. It's as much for them as it is for you and I today. And we will see his kingdom come. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that the Bible is, we look at it in hindsight, and we read about these incredible people. But Lord, the reality is that half the time they didn't know at the time what they were doing, but they were surrendered to you. Lord, let our hearts be those that are completely surrendered to you. That just like them, it could be said of us that they are just ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God. That it be said of them, said of us, like it's said in Scripture, that they took note and saw that these men had been with Jesus. Lord, that we would be witnesses of you and your kingdom, not our opinions. Holy Spirit, I pray that even right now, you would come and fill and empower each one of us. And as we go back to our churches and to our regions, Lord, that you would continue to fill us and those that we lead for the sake of the kingdom. That we would be witnesses. God, that you would get the glory. That Jesus, it is all about you and your kingdom. And that until the day we take into heaven, it will still be about you and your kingdom. Because we're just ordinary people, but you are an extraordinary God. Thank you, God, that you've chosen to use us. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. May we see the fruitfulness. And whatever that looks like, through you using us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you very much.